Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 16 and verse 7. We're not ready to read this passage yet, but just mark it so when we get there, you'll have it. To the Jewish people, the Ark of the Covenant was a precious possession. The Ark was a beautiful chest overlaid with gold, and in it, there were two tablets of stone upon which the Ten Commandments were written. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:4 that the ark also contained the budding rod of Aaron and the pot of manna. Now, as a symbol of God's presence with His people, the ark was carried by priests. They carried the ark in advance of the Israelites as they moved from one place to another. There was such power associated with the Ark of the Covenant that surrounding nations looked upon it as being the very God of Israel. Now the Philistines, who were arch enemies of the Israelites, captured the Ark during a battle. But because of God's judgment upon them, while they had the Ark in their possession, they were eager to return it within 7 months. The ark was taken to a city where it remained until the time of King David. Now, King David wanted the ark returned to Jerusalem, but the first effort to move it ended in disaster. When the oxen that were pulling the new cart upon which the ark had been placed, when those oxen lost their footing and stumbled, there was a man named Uzzah who was following along. He reached his hand up to keep the ark from falling off and hitting the ground. And when he did that, the Bible says, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and He struck him because he put his hand on the ark, and he died there before God. Uzzah died instantly when he simply laid his hand on the ark to protect it from being damaged. Now folks, don't ever be guilty of underrating the holiness of Almighty God. We must understand that God is not some good old boy who lives out there somewhere who exists to please our every whim. God is not to serve us, we are to serve Him. Now David became so angry with God over the death of Uzzah, he named the place Perez Uzzah, outburst against Uzzah. At the same time, David became fearful about continuing the journey with the ark. He realized that he needed to seek the Lord's will regarding exactly how the ark should be moved to Jerusalem. For 3 months, the Ark of the Covenant stayed in the home of a man named Obed-Edom. When David decided it was time to go ahead and move the Ark to its rightful place in Jerusalem, to the tabernacle, the move was made with great care and with the utmost respect for the holiness of God. On that glorious day, when the ark was returned to its rightful place, King David and God's people gave thanks with grateful hearts. Look here at verse 7 in 1 Chronicles 16. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hands of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him. Sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. This Thursday, Americans will once again pause to give thanks to God with grateful hearts. And certainly, there is so much for which we should be thankful to God today. There's so much that God has blessed us with in this nation. I know of no nation in the world today that has been as blessed as the United States of America has been blessed by God. We were birthed as a nation that sought God and our Constitution and in our way of life. And even though we have been suffering from a move away from God, thank the Lord that now we are going to see, I believe, a move toward God. We need a great spiritual awakening in our nation. The first Thanksgiving, it was held by the Pilgrims in 1621 in Plymouth Colony, Massachusetts. The Pilgrims had come to the New World in order to escape religious persecution in England. Now, their first winter in Massachusetts was tragic indeed. Nearly half of the colonists died. I mean, they suffered with sickness and debilitating health problems that killed nearly half of them. But things became better in the summer of 1621. A bountiful harvest of corn caused great rejoicing among the Pilgrims. William Bradford, who was the governor of the colony, decreed that a three-day feast be held. So it was that the first American Thanksgiving was celebrated less than a year after the Pilgrims came to the new land in search of religious liberty. Thanksgiving Day has always been a special holiday in America. It is a day characterized by good food, too much, Alka-Seltzer's on the scene in volumes, good fun, and good family fellowship. Now, it is the one day of the year when many people who normally care less will bow their heads and pause before they eat and thank the Lord for all of the blessings He has lovingly bestowed upon their lives. On this Sunday before Thanksgiving Day, I want to remind every Christian, whether you're in the auditorium or whether you're viewing this message, every Christian, that we ought to be thankful to God continually. We need to give thanks with grateful hearts continually to the Lord. In fact, our lives should be characterized by a perpetual attitude of gratitude and thanks to the Lord. We are to have grateful hearts in the first place because God commands it. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Paul wrote these words to the church at Thessalonica. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, in discussing the meaning of this verse, the great Bible teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, he wrote these words, If you come to me and ask, what is the will of God for you? I can tell you three specific things that are God's will for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks for everything in the Lord. Now, what is the will of God? It's clear, isn't it? To have thankful hearts. And you know, that is not optional in the Christian life. You know, I want you to understand that being thankful is not based on a feeling. We're not commanded anywhere in the Word of God to feel grateful. Feel grateful. Feelings are fickle. I mean, they can change in just a moment. You might have had feelings that already went awry this morning and new feelings took their place. We are not commanded to feel grateful. We are commanded to be grateful. And we're to give thanks to the Lord no matter how we feel at any given moment. A lady by the name of Ellen Vaughn wrote a book entitled Radical Gratitude. And here's what she said, that we who know the Lord, our lives are to be marked by extravagant gratitude for who God is and what He means to our lives. Now, I want to share some scriptures with you that underscore the fact that we are to give thanks with grateful hearts continually. Psalm 50:14 says, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High." Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2. "Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms." Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5 says the only way that we're to come to worship is with thanksgiving. I hope when you came this morning that you came with a thankful heart. You ought to come in this auditorium on Sunday mornings praising God, giving God the glory, and coming with a spirit of expectation that God is going to meet you in this place, and you're going to leave here having been able to say, "I met the Lord today, and He has been so gracious to me in my life." Now, the Bible says in Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations." Psalm 105, the Word of God says, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice." And then, Colossians 3:15 in the New Testament says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Is the peace of Christ, Christian, ruling in your heart today? "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body," and here it is, "and be thankful." Be thankful. Now, does that sound like a take it or leave it option? Of course not. It's an emphatic command. Be thankful. Choose by an act of your will to be thankful. No matter how dark the day, no matter how difficult the situation, no matter how dreary the outlook, we are to have thankful hearts to the Lord. And I know so many Christians say, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll be available to give God praise and thanksgiving. If He will just come up on me by His Holy Spirit with some euphoric experience and some rocky mountain high, then I'm going to burst out with praise and with thanksgiving." Listen, obedience to what God commands us is not a matter of being available. That's not what obedience means. It means taking action. It means that we get up and we do what needs to be done, whether we feel like it or not, because we know that it is expected of us. And Christian, if you do not have a thankful heart this morning, I ask you this: why? Why don't you have a thankful heart as a Christian? I mean, consider all that God has done in your life. Think of the manifold blessings that you have received from Him. Consider what your life would be without the Lord. So, we are commanded to give thanks with grateful hearts continually. We Christians are to make every day a day of thanksgiving because we are overwhelmed by how wonderful the Lord has been to us. All of us would be more thankful as believers if we would thank less of ourselves, and then if we would think more of the Lord and contemplate what He's meant to our lives. Jesus Christ came to this earth for one reason. He left the glory that He had And He came to take your place and my place and every person's place who is listening to this message right now. Wherever you are in the world today, He paid the penalty for our sins on the cross. Christian, He gave us the gift of eternal life so that we could escape the horrors of hell. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Paul wrote these words in a moment when he could not contain his gratitude for what the Lord had done in his life. He said, thanks be to the Lord who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where does our victory come from, Christian? It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no victory in any other source but in Him. And ours is a total victory. It's a total victory over sin. It's a total victory over death. It is a total victory over the grave. It is a daily victory if we will just live under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it is a final victory because it can never be lost. Why? Because we're able to hold on to it in our own strength? Of course not. It's because God is faithful and God keeps us in the palm of His hands in our lives. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verses 38 and 39. And listen to what Paul wrote in this chapter. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, listen, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is going to separate us from the love of God. He loves us. God is love. That's the definition of the character of God right there. I want you to listen to the words of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who was a pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. I've mentioned him already to you in a sermon or two. And, of course, in England, they don't do Thanksgiving Day. That's an American holiday, but they need to be thankful, too, as Christians. He got up one cold, windy, snowy morning to preach on being thankful. Here's what he said. Dear friends, a Christian has infinite cause for gratitude. When I first looked to Christ and was enlightened, I thought if I never receive another mercy except that one of being delivered from my load of guilt, I would praise God if He would let me forever and ever. To have the feet taken out of the miry clay and to feel them set on the rock of ages is a subject for eternal gratitude. But you have not received one spiritual mercy only, beloved brother, nor two, nor 20. You have them strewn along your path in richest proficiency. And neither the stars above you are as numerous as the blessings you receive, or the suns beneath more innumerable. Listen to what he said next. Every hour, yea, every moment has brought a forever, a blessing upon its wings. Look downward and give thanks, for you're not going to hell. Look on your right hand and give thanks for all the gracious gifts God has given you. Look on your left hand and give thanks, for you are shielded from deadly ills. And look up and give thanks, for you are going to heaven. Heaven awaits you. Now, my friends, when we consider what the Lord has done for us, we must say, as Spurgeon said, every hour, yes, every moment, has brought a favor. That's the word I wanted to use. A favor upon its wings. And we must join with the angels who declare what is recorded in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. And that simply means let it be so, that we give thanks to God with grateful hearts continually. Now, there's another reason why we are to give thanks with grateful hearts continually. And that is, doing so is a testimony which honors the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Peter wrote these words, of course, as I always say, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now let me ask you this. How are we going to proclaim the praises of our Heavenly Father to a lost and dying world if we don't have thankful hearts, if we're not thankful? What do people see, Christian, when they look at your life? What do people hear coming out of your mouth when they're around you? I mean, do they see and hear anything that makes you different than the grouchy complainers that they're around most of the time? Well, what a testimony we can be to others, especially when we have a spirit of thanksgiving in the midst of daily trials and tribulations. God grant that people who are lost in spiritual darkness will be exposed to a difference in our lives that will cause them to want to seek Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Paul and Silas, oh brother, they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what happened to them? They got thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. You can turn with me to Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. I want you to see what happened. Now, when they were thrown in jail, they were put in the inner prison. That was an area of dampness and foul smelling. And then their feet were fastened into stocks. Now, the question is, did they complain to God? Did they adopt the position? Some things we get from you, God. Well, after all, we've been serving you. No, that's not what Paul and Silas did. They began to praise and give the Lord thanks. And I want you to listen to what the Bible says here, beginning in verse 25, Acts 16. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, you and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now, when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his household. Why did that happen in the Philippian jailer's life? I'll tell you why. I believe it was because Paul and Silas gave praise and glory to God there in that midst. And that man saw something in their lives. He saw a glory that he knew was not in his own life. And what must I do to be saved? And I say to everybody listening to this message, if you've never been born again, if you've never been saved from sin, I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to open the door to your heart. You have to repent. You have to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You invite Him into your heart. He comes into your heart, changes your life forever, writes your name in the book of life, and eternally it will stay there, and nothing can ever erase it from that book. And if you've never done that, well, do that today, and you'll have a thankful heart also. Now, there's one other reason, a final reason, that we need to give thanks with grateful hearts continually. And that is because it has such a positive effect on our struggle with life, the rigors of life. Now, who gets by better in life? The person who suffers from the woe is me syndrome, the chronic complainer, the individual who has a continual sour disposition? Well, I believe that we all know the answer. The one who is thankful is that one who's been born again through Jesus Christ and goes around in a spirit of thanksgiving day by day. Now, let me say this to you. I recognize the fact it takes an effort to keep an attitude of gratitude. It takes an effort to give thanks continually with all that's going on. But thankful people get along better than unthankful people do. There's no doubt about it. And medical science is discovering more and more about how attitude affects our physical well-being. And the Bible's been speaking to that issue for centuries. Here's what the Word says. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. So if we will practice thanksgiving day by day, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, I'll tell you what, we will have lives that are blessed, and we will have lives that are more healthy. A.W. Tozer, the great preacher, said one time, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. And it is one that the poorest among us can give and not be poorer, but richer for having done it. Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem. He was heading down from Samaria in the area of Galilee, went into a village. 10 leprous men met Him there. And they called out to Him. Now, they didn't get close to Him because it was required that those who had leprosy did not get around other people who were not infected with that dread disease. They called out, "Jesus, Jesus, please have mercy on us." Jesus, as compassionate as He's always been, He looked at them and He said this, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." I mean, a glorious miracle occurred as they moved away. They were miraculously healed, cleansed, every one of them. But a strange thing happened in light of the miracle that had occurred. Only one of them was thankful, as he should have been. Only one of them expressed gratitude for what had taken place. He turned around and ran back and fell at the feet of Jesus. And he said with a loud voice, he said, "Thank you, Lord." He gave Him praise. He gave Him glory. And Jesus said this, "Were not 10 cleansed? But the other 9, where are they? Did none of them turn back to give God the glory?" And then He said this to the man, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole." God forbid that any of us who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, who've been cleansed from the fatal leprosy of sin, God forbid that we should be like those ungrateful 9. But rather, my Christian friends, let us choose to be like the one who fell at the feet of Jesus and praised and thanked Him. Let us also fall at the feet of Jesus day by day in gratitude for who He is and what He means to our lives now and forever. Let us be those who are not only hearers of the Word, there's too much of that. Let us be doers of the Word. That's what Christians should be, doers of the Word. And as we are doers of the Word, let us do what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5. Giving thanks always, always, for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. Now, those of you who've been watching by Facebook and YouTube, if you've never trusted Christ, and if you're here in this auditorium right now, and you've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior, this is the time for you to make the most important decision you'll ever make. And I want to help you to pray and receive Him. Pray this prayer with me quietly. Pray these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have sinned in the sight of Holy God many, many times across my life. But right here and right now, Jesus, I repent. I turn from sin as a way of life. And Jesus, I turn to You. I open the door to my heart. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me for all my sins. And Jesus, I place my faith in You. And by Your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will live for You as the Lord of my life from this day forward. Thank You, Jesus, for taking my place on the cross of Calvary and paying the penalty for all of my sins. Thank You, Jesus, for coming into my heart. Thank You, Jesus, for saving my soul and giving me the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm going to give you the opportunity to make your confession of faith in Christ public. And then talk to you about the first act of a new believer, and that is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you're here and your membership somewhere else, if you're here and you just have a need for prayer, whatever, as we have the hymn of invitation, you come on right now. You come and do what God would have you do.